This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Futuro.
Hey, Latino USA listener. Here's a podcast from our archives. From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and today, pump up the jam. So, my dear listener, if you're on Instagram, like me, and I'm on it a lot, you know that there are lots of accounts that focus on, like, food or the arts or fashion, just about anything.
Guadalupe Rosales runs two Instagram accounts that have garnered a lot of attention and that I personally have fallen in love with ever since I discovered them.
Veteranas en Rucas and Map Points focus on the fashion, the music, the entire vibe of the 1980s and 90s in Los Angeles. Both of these accounts pay a lot of attention to the so-called party crews of the time, groups of young people who attended house parties together, sometimes even sharing a uniform.
Guadalupe herself was part of those crews during her teens, and she asks her followers to send in photographs of themselves or of friends or loved ones from that time in order to create a sort of living archive of that moment. I sat down with Guadalupe and her collaborator, Eddie Rubalcaba, who photographed the parties as a teenager. And we talked about why party crews and their history mean so much to them.
Today, we bring you that conversation. I started off by asking Guadalupe a simple question. What is a party crew?
It was a combination of boys and girls, and we organized parties that were happening all over LA, in backyards, and then also warehouse parties. The party crew was created by mostly teenagers from like 13, 14 through 20 years old. You know, we would listen to like house music and new wave and pretty much anything that we could dance to. A lot of people saw that subculture as almost like an alternative to gangs, because people who were creating these party crews were people who were almost looking for another way of identifying, because let's say their cousins or their brothers or sisters were in gangs.
What you were trying to do to not get into a gang was you guys basically created your own kind of gang, which was a crew, and it was about partying. How did you create a party crew, and what did you guys do?
I think that they're many ways of getting into a crew, but the most common way was someone would initiate it or invite you to be in a crew. So how it happened for me was I was really good friends with my friend Miros. I think once we were in high school, she asked me, hey, does your mom let you go out? And I sort of lied to her, you know, I said, yeah, sure, my mom lets me go out. And then she was like, I'm going to go ahead and pick you up on Friday. We're going to a party. And I remember she picked me up that Friday, and I opened the door, and there are like 12 people in the van. You know, they're all like listening to house music, and they're all like yelling Assignation. And I remember being like, this is where I want to be, you know?
So, Eddie, you photographed these parties and you went to them. So I'm wondering if you can take me back to those party crew days.
The parties would be on Fridays and Saturdays, and there were at least 3 parties each night. And when that first party would get broken up by the police, we'd follow each other to the second party. And then the party would get broken up. And by the end of the night, we're at the third party, wherever that was, and it was about 300 people. And then when that would get broken up, we'd all end up at the hangout spot where there was usually no cops, off of Union Pacific in Indiana and close to City Commerce. And then when that got broken up, we'd cruise down Whittier Boulevard the traditional cruising spot. And it was an endless night. After that got done, I get back home and go to my neighbor's house where they were still partying.
All right, your favorite all-time party cruise song would be what? Wow. You got to choose one.
Mallorca. Oh,
yeah. And what about that song? What about that song?
It was like the song that got me excited and wanted me to jump in the go-go box and dance with the girls up there. It was just something about it. That or James Brown Is Dead is another one of those songs, and it was just exciting.
James Brown Is Dead.
I've always been a little bit of a dancer myself, so it made me want to dance, and that is the pinnacle of that time in my life.
And Guadalupe, what's your favorite all-time big hit of the moment?
I would say that the anthem from that time was Follow Me. That was a very, very powerful song at that time. We also have to remind ourselves that these parties were happening in the midst of so much corruption, so much violence, and that song pretty much highlights that. This was around the LA riots when that song came out.
Today, Mayor Tom Bradley urged everyone in Los Angeles to remain home, to stay off the streets.
It's a song about peace and unity.
The LA County Sheriff's gang unit arrest a 17-year-old for the murder.
Trouble-plagued rapper and actor Tupac Shakur is dead at the age of 25, just about a week after sustaining four bullet wounds last Saturday.
The initiative, which would deny schooling and other social services to illegal immigrants, sparked
that song to dance to in the midst of the chaos that's going on. It's very, very powerful.
A lot of young people just don't know what was being worn. And that's a big part of your Instagram site, Veteranas en Rucas, is that you are just actually capturing. And of course, while you guys are talking, I'm looking through the Instagram and I'm just like, these are so cool. But can you describe what were the women wearing?
You know, there's something I noticed through the work. It's also that a lot of people that don't understand the Chicana or the brown woman that grew up in LA is that just because we were brown with thin eyebrows and red lipstick doesn't mean that we were in a gang. You know, that was the style back in the 90s. So the women that were part of the party scene, you know, the party crew, subculture, we had different styles. You know, a lot of women would wear baggy pants and big T-shirts, or some of the girls would wear cut-off 501 shorts with, let's say, Harley Davidson boots or overalls with Adidas. You know, their hair was really like, you know, like with that mousse and hairspray all crunched up with the perm, red lipstick. I mean, there was so much going on.
There was so much going on in the style, right?
Exactly.
There was so much going on in the style.
In my senior year at Roosevelt High School in Boyle Heights, the crews changed their look to something like James Dean. And that's where you had the East LA Rebels were born out of that.
And the rebel spirit soars in this group who call themselves the Wanderers. They respond to names like Elvis Presley.
He inspired us, you know? He inspired us to put, you know, the greasy kids on.
Admire Marlon Brando.
The Wild Rebels are all about rebels.
That was like the look, and everybody had their little pompadour in their Doc Martens or their biker boots and jeans cuffed up to look kind of like the outsiders.
And emulate film idol James Dean.
Everybody liked him as a rebel, you know, in the 50s. Teenagers idolized him as a rebel. Well, you know, we kind of take his style now.
And what do you think it is about these particular photographs, the ones that you choose, the ones that you curate, that makes people feel so connected?
I think that even if it's someone sitting in the car, just hanging out, it's not just that. It's like it marks a moment in time. People will recognize the building. People will recognize the street. People will recognize what the person is wearing. Or I used to drink that beer that doesn't exist anymore. You know, like Zimas were so popular back in the day. Those don't really, I don't think they're, you know, like there's all these drinks.
I'm like, oh my God, I haven't heard of that in so long. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm blown away at this. That I was very lucky and fortunate enough to be able to take pictures of this, like, lost time almost. This is proof of this era.
Let me ask you about the photographs. So when you were taking those photographs during the parties, were you thinking, oh, look, this is just fun for the moment, and who knows? I mean, there was no Instagram. I don't think that there was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. You know, we weren't all obsessed with photographing ourselves and each other. So was it just like, oh, I'll just take some pictures because it's fun and who knows? I mean, and now you get to look at it and it's like, wow, you were really documenting a moment in history.
It was for fun. It was for fun and a way to share with friends pictures that I would take of them. And I think it was more about like, I'm getting cool points here. I'm getting published in this magazine now. And that would get me into all the parties for free because they wanted to come out in the magazine. And this style that was being published in this magazine, which was a brand or a branch of Lowrider magazine, it was being distributed all over Southern California. And so this style of people in this culture, you know, you get rebels out in Orange County. And like, how did that happen? It's because they were following the trend that we were setting in Boyle Heights, East LA. So it became like we were the trendsetters.
A favorite photograph of yours do you have? I mean, you've got so many, but is there one in particular?
I have a throwback picture from 1991 with my neighbor and our homies from the neighborhood. It's five of us. We're on the stairway of Evergreen Cemetery Chapel, and we did the update to that photo just 6 months ago, and now there's just two of us left. These young men to my left died within 2 years. They were shot and killed. And then the gentleman to my right served a life sentence in jail, and then he came out about 3 years ago, but he died from hepatitis C. That was from using dirty needles for heroin use in jail. So me and my neighbor Eric are the last two left from that that photo. There's so much loss from that time frame where we were partying. And there's this thing we call the decade of death. From 88 to 98, there was over nearly 1,000 gang-related murders in LA County alone for 10 years. So it was something that we experienced in the backyard party scene and kind of what helped to stop that backyard party scene, because it just became gang warfare after a while.
Guadalupe, your Instagram account, Veteranas y Rucas, when you started this in 2015, was it just like, hey, you know, I think I'll just post a couple of photographs and see what happens? Or did you really say, you know what, I understand that I'm about to create a moment and a community that is actually hungry for a place and a voice?
I knew that I was hungry. I knew that there was something that was missing, a piece of the puzzle that was missing. It definitely started because I needed to identify with whatever that was that I couldn't find anywhere else. I wasn't thinking that I was about to create some sort of movement or historic conversation. it was definitely out of urgency because I remember living in New York, calling home and asking my sister, can you talk to me about those parties that we went to? Do you still have those photos that we took at the mall? And she'll be like, oh, Lupe, just let that go. That happened a lot. You know, that happened with not just my sister, but a lot of my friends. And I wasn't convinced, you know, I wasn't convinced that that was like something that we experienced and it was something just to leave in the past.
Thank you so much for your work, Guadalupe, and for your work, Eddie. And thank you so much for creating this community and for sharing it with me on Instagram and on the radio. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Honor. Pleasure.
You can find both Guadalupe Rosales and Eddie Rubalcaba on Instagram at EDRUV and at veteranas_and_rucas. This episode was produced by Sayer Quevedo and edited by Nadia Raymond. It was mixed by Stephanie LeBeau. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., Alejandra Salazar, Patricia Zurbarán, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Julio Ricardo Varela. Our senior engineer is Julia Caruso. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. And recuérdate, no te vayas. Bye.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And funding is provided by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians.